Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 24th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you, and in a moment we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, 12 Ingredients to Improve Your Life. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, to our show today because I realize that you have many other choices of ways to spend your time. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press the 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over there on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. I want to greet all of those who are in the chat room and those who are on their way. I have a couple of regulars who show up. Let me remind you that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and if that should occur to you, just suddenly lost, you can't hear anything anymore, just hang up and dial again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy this show, and I know some of you do because you've told me, don't keep it a secret. Over on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter. You can visit me and become a fan on Facebook. And most important, add yourself as a friend of my show. Let other people know about the good things that you are getting from this show. Now, once again, I am Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker. And I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, because that's where you will learn about all the various programs that I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. Now, while you're there, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter because you'll be able to get that in your email box without doing another thing. Also, click over and visit my blog because there you will get to read some different articles from the ones that are in my newsletter that are designed to help and inspire and encourage you. You will also see there where you can connect with me on all the social media. Now, if you are local, that means you live in Orange County or Los Angeles, California, and you're ready to come out of hiding and live your life to the fullest, I encourage you to join me and the others who meet on the second and fourth Thursdays in Orange County. Our group is called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. We meet between about 6 p.m. and 8, and our next meeting coming up is this Thursday, May 27th. If this sounds like something that's right for you and you're ready to live the life you want, the life you've dreamed about, go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you will see a sign-up that will take you to the meetup and will give you the details of location and so forth. Okay, all about our radio show finally. The radio show, Color Your Life Happy, is where we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, my goodness, all of the things that contribute to happiness. Today, my guest is Dr. Clint Perriman. Hi there, Dr. Perriman.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I'm glad to be on your show. And I just got to compliment you on something. You are a consummate professional.
Oh, my goodness.
To the way you began your show, and I must say that is probably the most detailed professional beginning of a show that I've been on, and I've been on, I don't know, maybe 70, 80, 100 different shows. So I just love
Oh, my
work.
Goodness. Thank you. Thank you so much. Maybe I'm ready for prime time, huh?
Oh, you're ready. In fact, there are some shows I need to call up and say, hey, you need to go listen to this show, and it'll give you an idea of how. Because people say, they ask me all the time, they'll call back and say, how did it go? And, you know, I don't want to say, oh, that was the worst intro I ever heard. So I usually will send them to my show, but now your show is better than mine. So
oh, my
I'm
goodness.
Yours.
Well, thank you. I am so happy and delighted to have you here. I must tell you, I found out about you by listening to another interview you gave. And I was so impressed with your wealth of knowledge and your energy and your positive attitude. I said, oh, I want to get him on my show. That's kind of how I find my guests. I hear wonderful people, and I want to get my listeners to get a little bit of that. So I want to tell my listeners, though, about you a little bit before we start the interview. Is that okay?
Of course. Of course.
Okay.
Just
now,
tell them the good stuff. Don't tell them all the bad stuff. Let them figure that out on their own.
Oh, cut it. Okay, let me cross out the bad stuff. Hold on. Okay, I'm just going to tell the good stuff. Now, Dr. Clint Pearman has been researching and studying this topic of how to live up to your potential since 1990. And he says he knows exactly how we can do it, how ordinary people can accomplish extraordinary things. Now, after spending more than 31 years observing and studying how the U.S. Marine Corps develops the most mentally tough men and women on the planet, he founded the new science of copenology, an interdisciplinary field that studies scientific research related to how we succeed or fail to live up to our potential. Copenology then converts this research into practical principles and applications we can use in our daily lives. That's what really impressed me, Dr. Pearman, when I listened to the other interview, is how you turn these into practical things that we can easily understand. Now, he has applied copenology principles in a variety of fields, ranging from recruiters in the U.S. Marine Corps to sailors in the United States Navy trying to lose weight, to homeless shelters and entrepreneurs, networkers, and couples trying to improve their relationships. While conducting research on copenology for his soon-to-be-released book, Copenology, The New Science of Success, he got sidetracked. But I don't really call this a sidetrack. I call this a God-intentioned trail that you had to follow. In an attempt to provide his daughter with some insightful advice that would empower her to live up to her potential, he started writing his daughter a letter. After about 30 days of writing, the letter was over 300 pages long. Now, that's a letter. This letter became the foundation for the first book, his first book, The Gift, 12 Ingredients to Improve Your Life. As America's leading copenologist and mental toughness authority, Dr. Clint speaks to groups large and small about how your brain can help you live up to your personal and professional potential or hold you back. And today we're pleased, I am delighted, I am thrilled to have Dr. Clint talk to us about copenology, mental toughness, and most importantly, his new book, The Gift, 12 Ingredients to Improve Your Life. Welcome to the show, Dr. Clint.
Wow. Thank you again, Dr. Brown. You know, listening to you say that, I'm sitting up thinking, is she talking about me? No.
You say you want to meet that guy, huh?
I want to meet that guy, too. You know, I had to learn how to stop being so bashful. I used to be really, really shy about this whole thing, but you know, the more people have heard about this idea and read the book, the more excited I actually got. Because when I originally wrote the book, I wasn't that excited.
That's right.
Because it wasn't supposed to be a book. It was just a letter to my daughter, but some people said I should publish it. So, okay, here we are. But now I am excited because I figured out it is good stuff.
It's good not only for your daughter, obviously, but it's a gift for the rest of us. And this is one of the things I believe that we as authors have to realize. whether we personally are shy or whatever we might feel about our messages. Our messages are gifts, and the world is waiting for our gifts. And every single person in the world may not be waiting, but somebody in the world is waiting. And so your book is a gift to those of us who are ready to receive it, as well as, of course, the gift you gave to your daughter. So tell us this amazing story that's behind the gift.
Okay. I have a daughter, beautiful daughter. Her junior year of college, she got pregnant and felt she needed to drop out to raise her child. And I thought that was a great idea. Me and her mom spoke to her, and she said, yeah, after her daughter got about a year to 2 years old, she'd go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought that was fantastic. I supported her, you know, 200%, actually supported her 200%. Well,
yeah,
that was almost 7.5 years ago. Her daughter is now 7 going on 8, and about a year ago, she was constantly calling, hey, Dad, can you lend me money for this? Dad, can you pay for this? Dad, I need help with this. And it was like, my goodness, what's going on here? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I actually thought like this. I said, I teach people how to live up to their potential. I do success seminars. I do workshops on all these topics. I need to do something for my daughter. And I thought I was going to sit down and just write her a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, the letter began with writing about procrastination, because I thought she was just procrastinating about going back to school. So I started writing about procrastination. That took about 4 or 5 days, and that wound up being about 10 to 15 pages. And when I was done with that, then I thought, you know, I need to write about motivation, because procrastination isn't enough without motivation. So
motivation, that's right.
Yeah, writing about how to, not just about motivation, but how to get motivation. In other words, it's a how-to topic. I wrote about how to get motivation. Then after that, I wrote about goal setting, how to set goals. Then I wrote about how to build self-esteem, break bad habits. And at the end of 30-something days, I had actually over 350 pages.
Oh, my goodness.
A friend of mine looked at it and thought, you know, you ought to turn this into a book. And I thought, that would be great. I sent it to her as a book. Now, understand, I'm only thinking I'm sending it to her as a book.
Right, right.
So I published the book, and I think this is the true story. You can even go find this. I think I'm publishing a private book that only I'll have access to. I hit the button. It winds up on Amazon.com, and I don't know until about 3 weeks later, a friend calls and says, yo, Claire, man, I got your book. This is a great book. You need to promote this. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? That you can't get that. That's a private book. He says, no, I ordered it. So I went and looked, and sure enough, I hit the wrong key on Amazon.com. And the problem with that book that he got, it was the unedited version.
Oh, my goodness.
It really was bad, because he says, actually it was a she. She says, and she used to be my my co-host when I first began Blog Talk Radio, a real famous lady. She goes by Giovanna. She was one of the, actually she was one of the first women sportscasters in America on nationwide TV.
Wow.
So if you listen to my earlier shows, you'll hear about me and Giovanna. And she said, but you need to get it and edit it, because there's all type of typos and misspelled words. So I went and looked on Amazon.com, and sure enough, there is a blue book. If you search for me under Clint and the Gift, there is a blue book called The Gift. You can no longer get that, because I cut it off, but they won't take it down. It's the unedited version.
Once
I got it edited, then I hired a real publisher, Create Space, published it under Create Space, and it's the red book that you see now that's available
in
1995. And that's
The Gift. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. Well, we're eager for you to share these 12 ingredients with us. What are these 12 ingredients? Can you go into those a little bit more?
Yeah, I'll read them all off to you first, and
okay.
then let you pick which one you would like me to expand on.
Okay.
And the order that I'm reading them off has been adjusted. It's not the order that I originally wrote them in because the publisher and the editor thought I should switch the order around. So,
okay.
And we changed, the editor decided not to call them chapters, but to call them ingredients. And
okay.
they said, you know, the gift is like a recipe for a better life, and with a
mm-hmm.
recipe, you have ingredients. So ingredient
That's
one
right.
is self-improvement.
Okay.
We covered a couple of topics on how to improve yourself. Ingredient two, personal development. Ingredient three, stress management. Ingredient
okay.
four, breaking bad habits.
Hmm.
Ingredient five, I had to, this was actually one of the last ingredients I thought about when I realized in today's day and age, you can't talk about success without bringing up the law of attraction. So I
right.
threw an entire chapter in on the law of attraction. And then I learned later that guys, you know, people that were experts in the law of attraction, they were contacting me, telling me how simple and easy it was to understand what the law of attraction was based on what I wrote. In fact, some of them said,
wow.
I explained it better than what they understood. So I was excited
wow.
about that.
That's great.
Ingredient six, how to stop procrastination. Ingredient seven, mm-hmm. how to build self-esteem. Ingredient
mm.
eight, I pulled this right out of my days with the Marine Corps, and it's how to be focused, how to have confidence, and self-discipline, all covered in
mm.
one ingredient. Then nine,
okay.
how to be motivated, how to get motivated and stay motivated. Ingredient
mm.
10, goal setting. Can't accomplish anything significant without knowing how to set goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then ingredient 11, I actually ran out of ingredients at 10, and my publisher
mm-hmm.
suggested, well, you know, since you took a break to write Copenology, you should put a little introduction in to Copenology.
Mm-hmm.
So ingredient
mm-hmm.
11 is an introduction to Copenology, and ingredient 12 are resources. So as you're reading, and I tell people, you don't have to read this book chapter or from cover to cover. You open it up, look at the contents, and let whatever whatever ingredient grabs your attention, that's the one you should read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people
mm-hmm.
have written to me. They've said, yeah, I got the book, and I only read this chapter, and it was worth it. Or some people said, I've read this chapter, and I loved it. Then I sent it to my cousin because they needed to read this chapter. And I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking, well, have them buy it, you know, and stop sending the book around. Then it dawned on me, I forgot that on page 8 in the book, I have a little section where you can put down your name and then the name of someone you want to give the book to as
mm-hmm.
a gift. And it actually says, mm-hmm. from me, what does it say? It says, my gift to you. From,
to you.
And
uh-huh.
then there's two lines, and then a little paragraph on why this. Why the person that's given it to you thinks it's important. So ingredient 12 was actually more resources. If you found, for example, you read something about how to stop procrastination and then you wanted
mm-hmm.
more information, you could go
mm-hmm.
to ingredient 12 and get more resources or more information.
Okay.
On it.
That's cool. That's wonderful. I have, this point is important for us to tell listeners where they can find your book. And you've already mentioned Amazon. So is that the best place for them to go is Amazon.com?
Actually, it's the second best. I think the first
okay.
best is to go to my website,
ClintHearman.com,
okay. and purchase it directly from my publisher, which is
okay.
CreateSpace.
Okay.
Now, for those people that prefer Amazon, that's fine. But if you don't even like Amazon, you can get it at Barnes & Noble's also.
Sure, sure. Okay. Now, so the best place to go is Clint Pearman, PARMAN.com, and there you'll be able to get it directly from the source. And those of you who must go to Amazon or to Barnes & Noble, some people just feel like they need to go to those sources, then it's available there too. So thanks
yeah.
for asking that question. Dr. Teresa Bond over there on Boyd, I'm sorry, over there in the chat room asked about that, and that's important for listeners to know. Okay, well, you said that there are all these ingredients, and then I can pick which one I want you to talk about. One of the things I am interested in hearing you share with my listeners is the law of attraction, because since that the movie The Secret and since law of attraction has become so popular, there have been people who have taken aim at the law of attraction and criticized it as being worthless and so forth. So I would be interested to hear your take on the law of attraction and how it applies to our happiness and to our lives.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a powerful question. I've never heard anybody, I've had everybody ask me about the law of attraction, but no one has ever worded it like that. And, I love the way you said that. Let me say this. In regards to the law of attraction, when we go to college and we get educated, we learn that there are two ways to go about believing, or two ways to live our life. We can either choose to live our life by going the intellectual, rational, analytical, logical, and scientific route. In other words, in college, we learn to be intellectual, rational, analytical, logical, and scientific.
Sure.
But there is another way. There's another group of people that choose to live their life through intuitiveness, spirituality, and based on religious beliefs. And both those camps have battled against each other ever since Darwin told us that we evolved from apes. He upset the religious industry and literally put us at war. But here's the crazy thing. Today, and I wish we could probably do a whole show on this, today there is an enormous amount of scientific evidence, and it's still mounting, on how our spiritual beliefs actually create health and wellness. Now, I'm going to tie that into success.
Okay.
Not only do we now know the scientific foundation, now, even some of the spiritual people have a problem with this because, you know, they don't want to mix their their area, which is spirituality, with science.
Right.
But unfortunately, it is totally mixed in now because the science has simply verified what the spiritual group has already said. In the past, when we doubted them, we can't do it anymore because, for example, prayer works. And there's tons of research that says it works. Now, what does that have to do with the law of attraction? This is what it has to do with it. There are some people that base their lives totally on the intellectual, rational, analytical, logical, and scientific realm. Those people have a problem with the law of attraction because the law of attraction comes from more of a intuitive, spiritual, and religious realm. What those people don't understand is we now know how those spiritual and religious activities like prayer, we know the science behind how they work. Now, here's what I say about the law of attraction. It works. However, it's only, see, what those guys did when they promoted the law of attraction, they led us unintentionally, they didn't mean to, they led us to think that that's all you needed. Just simply decide this is what you want and think about it and it will come to fruition. Well, even though that concept works, it's not the only thing. It's only actually in the field of copenology, what the law of attraction does is only one component to an eight-component process. So the law of attraction works, but you can't use it by itself. You can't just start thinking about what you want and think it's going to happen. And even if you're a spiritual-minded person, you know, and if you don't, go read James 2, I think it's James 2:22, that faith without works.
Without works.
Dead.
That's right.
In other words, the law of attraction works because it develops your faith and your belief, but you still have to apply
action
behind it.
Exactly.
But now watch this. Watch this, though. Action without it makes it doubly difficult, if it will work
at
all. So try to accomplish something substantial in your life without the techniques taught in the law of attraction, it's a slim chance that you're going to achieve it.
Right.
But add the law of attraction to it, you now raise your chances of success.
Wow. Wow. So the belief in attracting what you want is one thing, but then moving toward doing the actions that lead you there are absolutely required.
Absolutely.
And
I'll add a piece based on what you just said. The most significant and the most powerful thing the law of attraction does is change your attitude.
Exactly.
Now think about it. If you know, there are very few people that are going to accomplish significant things in their life with a screwed up attitude. We know that.
We know that.
Right. And what the law of attraction does is help you develop the attitude that will then attract the attitude that will attract other people to you that can
mm-hmm.
help. For example, let's say you want to become a millionaire and you got a screwed up attitude. Nobody wants to be around you and help you.
Nope.
Let the law of attraction help you develop the right attitude, and you will. This is crazy too. You get the right attitude, and through some cosmic unknown force, actually the force is known now. People
mm-hmm.
will be attracted to you that can
That's
help.
Right.
You. They just seem to appear
right.
out of nowhere. That can offer you help.
Right, right. Well, I think a lot of the problems that people have with these two sides, intellectual and intuitive, is a matter of vocabulary, because people get hung up on the vocabulary law of attraction, but the same people, let's see, the intellectuals may use the word attitude, but they will not want to use anything that to them sounds spiritual. So I think we get caught up too much in the vocabulary when sometimes we're talking about the same thing. But the most important thing I hear you saying is that these two things work together. It's not
yes.
one or the other. They work together. Now, tell me.
The most powerful part of that is we now have the scientific evidence to confirm it and verify it.
That's right. That's right. Now, there are tons of books out there on the market, which I well know because I added one to the thousands and tens of thousands of self-help books. How is your book so special? How is the gift so special? How is it differentiated?
Yeah, you know, I think what makes the gift so powerful is this. It's really an introduction to the world of success, and
mm-hmm.
it gives a person kind of the Reader's Digest version of 12 of the most important areas they need to work on. In other words, each chapter, well, I should say 11 of the 12 chapters are individual books on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, for example, if you suffer from, let's say, procrastination, you can go to the bookstore and buy entire books on procrastination. And how much of that entire book is really going to help you or teach you anything? In the case of the gift, I consolidate all that knowledge and information
mm-hmm.
in just one chapter, which is, what, maybe 10 to 12 pages, and you get it in one book. So you literally get 11, because the 12th chapter is resources. You get you get 11 books broken down into its most simplistic form, and if you're just now starting out in the success arena, what better place to look than, I believe, in the gift, and look at the
right.
content and pick the one that catches your attention, and that's what
yes.
attracts people to it.
Well, you
and
know what I love about what
part,
you've done? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So let me just say, the last thing is, and I've only learned this from the people that have written me, is they love the idea that it can be given away as a gift, and there's a section in the book where you write to the person who you're giving it to. I was intending to do that for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I left it blank so I could write her name in, and other people have caught on to it, and that's what they like. They can give it to their kids, give it to their relative, give it to anybody as a way of saying, in fact, what that first sentence says is, under that page, it says, my gift to you. The gift is a compilation of fundamental used by the world's most successful people while achieving extraordinary things, and it's my gift to you.
Hmm. That's beautiful. I love the fact that you have taken the research that's out there, and it, of course it's available to all of us if we wanted to go and spend the hours, the years that you have to gather it. But after we've gathered it, we still would have to understand it and distill it into practical knowledge that we could then apply. And I just love the fact that you've already done that for us. I don't know if people can understand what a tremendous gift that is to have that knowledge distilled. So I want to thank you for doing that. That takes away some of the stress that we might encounter if we were trying to do this on our own. So let's talk about stress management, because it seems to be pretty high on many people's list these days. What is the secret to managing our stress?
Wow, that's another great question. And, I've actually had someone who didn't read the book or didn't understand what I was writing ask me, why do you have stress management in a self-help book on success? So, the stress management should have been, after I thought about it, it should have been the number one chapter. And the reason is this. Most people are just not aware of how significant stress is in their life and how it holds them back. I have to give one really, I don't know if I could call it a sad story, but my mom just passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. All her life, she didn't realize that she had simply developed a serious type A personality. Every little thing stressed her out. But it got to the point where she had become desensitized to it. She wasn't even aware that she was doing things that were stressing her out. She had no clue. She thought it was just normal. And believe it or not, at the conscious level, to her, it was just a normal way of being. But physiologically and unconsciously, it's that stress that actually killed my mother. She passed away she contracted leukemia, and it was based on her type A personality. Her immune system was simply wore out. She had an enormous amount of inflammation, and her immune system just did not protect her from the leukemia, and it was all stress-related.
Yes.
So when we talk about stress, I put it in there because if you do not get hold of the stress in your life, it will eventually be the root of what holds you back from living up to your potential.
That's right.
I think your question was, what was the secret to stress management?
To managing it, yes.
Managing it. I wish there was one little secret. I wish there was one little button, one little pill you could take and eliminate stress, but there isn't. But there is a process, and it's a real simple process. And I would like to tease everybody and say, get the book and you'll learn the process. But I'll give them to it. I'll give you.
Okay.
The first thing is to be able to identify the things that are stressful in your life, because if you're not aware of the things that are stressful, you can't do anything about countering the stress. In other words, it's the point where my mom got where it just seemed normal, you don't know to do something about it. So step number one is to identify the things that cause what we like to say is chronic stress. That's the negative stress in your life. Mm-hmm. And then understand this. If there is a key, a secret, this is it. Is to realize that external stressor, the thing that you believe is causing the stress, is really not what's causing the stress. What's really causing the stress is how you interpret that external stimuli, how you interpret what just happened to you or within you. In other words, it is our mind, the way we use our mind, that determines how your body is going to react. Let's give one simple example. I was sitting in my car years ago, and you might remember the Barclays had a song called Don't Burn Rubber on Me. That song began with screeching tires. It began with a sound that kind of went, Now, I'm sitting in my car listening to it, and I hear it. And my body tenses up. I squinch up. I look in the rearview mirror because I think somebody's getting ready to run into me.
Right, right.
When in reality, it was on the, this was actually a A-track. This goes back that
far. Ooh, A-track.
It was on an A-track. Now, understand what happened.
Yes.
I heard sound externally.
Okay.
And in my mind, I interpreted as somebody's about to run into me.
Right.
And that caused a temporary bout of stress.
Yes.
Now, in most cases, what we do is we immediately, our prefrontal cortex figures out, no, that's on the A-track. It's not what you thought it was.
Right.
And it calms us down.
Right.
But in the case of chronic stress, where we suffer from our body's physiological response, which is the same one I had all day long, you get up in the morning and you don't even want to go to work, that creates stress. And you get stuck in traffic, that creates stress. You know you don't even like your boss, that's stress. You know you might have to work overtime, that's stress. And if you spend a lifetime thinking like, now you notice I said thinking like that.
Exactly.
You're going to develop chronic stress syndrome. So the second key, besides identifying what's stressful, is then to understand it's all in your mind, and here's the key. Stick what I like to call the NATAC warrior on your on the symptoms or on the signal. And what the NATAC warrior is you want to picture this giant 8-foot-tall gladiator-type warrior, and he has a steel shield with him. He has this ray gun, and he's wearing all his armor. And what NATAC does is kill negative thoughts.
Okay.
And as soon as you remember, number one, you've identified a negative thought coming into your mind. First thing I tell people is to say, "Get him, NATAC." And understanding what NATAC is, it's this warrior that's going to go out and stop the negative thought. And this actually works. I mean, it's based on science. Animate it. You stop the thought at the prefrontal cortex level before it creates an emotional response, because once you develop the emotional response, you then react to the emotional response, and you create a cycle, and it gets worse. So let's say your boss walks in, and he says something that you don't like, and you know, because you know, oh, this is going to stress me out. No. What you want to do is say, "Get him, NATAC." And NATAC,
get him, NATAC, warrior.
Right. That's it. Get him, NATAC. NATAC, well, what NATAC does is he stops the thought, but then you got to do one more thing. You got to replace the original thought with the positive thought. And you simply say, "I can handle this. I'm doing just fine." And then you go about handling it without the what's called ants, letting the automatic negative thought control you. You let NATAC stop the automatic negative thought, and then you replace it with a positive thought, and that stops the stress.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. What's so sad about what we do to ourselves, using what you've described, is in your very first step, identifying that awareness, you discovered in your example that the external stressor wasn't even real. And so many times I think that we have external stressors that aren't even real, just as you heard the screeching on the radio or on your A-track. It had the same effect or was about to have the same effect as if it were the real.
Yes. You're absolutely, you know, when you study stress, the thing at the academic level, the one thing that you learn is most of the things that stress us out, they don't even come to fruition. And even worse than not coming to fruition, they're based on fear. Now watch this. Very few people are aware that F-E-A-R is an acronym.
Yes.
False evidence appearing real.
Real. That's right. That's right.
Reminds me of the story about this old, it's an ancient Chinese story about this guy who was seeking the secret to success. And he had to cross, you know, had to go through these mountains and these forests. And there was this one location when it was pitch black dog, and he knew he was like at the edge of this cliff, and he had to, you know, jump across and grab hold of this rope and then swing to the other end. So he jumps, but the rope doesn't swing to the other end, and he doesn't feel anything underneath his feet. So he's developing this serious level of fear that he's going to fall into this abyss.
Yes.
And all through the night, as he loosens his grip, fear takes over, and he finally lets go, and he falls 2 feet. And realizes it was fear that held him back all along.
My goodness.
Which
My
created
goodness.
The stress.
Wow.
And that was the lesson he had to learn.
Yes, and the lesson we all have to learn. Things are seldom as big as we make them. We are great at creating stress and drama in our heads before things even happen.
Yeah.
And this is what you're talking about here. We have about 4 minutes left. I can't believe it. I want you to talk about motivation a little bit, because if we're not motivated, it's impossible to accomplish anything, whether we've set those goals or not. What can you tell us about motivation, ingredient 9?
Real simple. You know, as coaches, and all you coaches listening to this, you need to adhere to this. Adhere, what's the word? Adhere, whatever. You need to
adhere.
Adhere to this.
Yes.
We tell our clients all the time, you need to get motivated. Athletic coaches, we hear them all the time. You need to get motivated. You need to do this. What the heck is that going to do if the person doesn't know how to get motivated?
Right.
Think about that. When I was writing that ingredient for my daughter, what was in my mind was simply that. Maybe she doesn't know how, so I'm trying to teach her what are the things you have to do to get motivated. And here are 3 little simple steps. Number 1,
Okay. Begin
with visualizing what you want. Don't worry about motivation. Motivation will be a byproduct of these 3 things here. 1,
Okay. Sit
down and just get a clear vision of what it is you want to accomplish.
Okay.
And then think about it and lament over it and just think about it. What that what that does, it initially develops a set of neuronal networks that are then going into grow into motivation. After you get the vision, the second thing is make a conscious decision to accomplish it. And I'm still saying, forget about motivation. Don't even worry about it. Motivation is going to be automatic when we hit the third one. Actually, the fourth one. Make a conscious decision, and your decision has to end with this, that I am going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do the best I can. Cancel
no.
the concept that says I'll do the best I can, because the best you can might not be good enough. Write it out that I'm going to do whatever it takes. And then number 3, develop belief. And the way you do that is with affirmations, continue your visualization, use what I like to say is goal cards, a dream board, hire a coach or even a mastermind group where you're constantly connected to people talking about your dream, giving you a chance to talk about it. And then the third one, what I like to say is instill passion. And the way you instill passion is to continue with the dream board, the vision, the goal setting, the affirmation.
Right.
Now understand what those 4 things do. They develop a set of neuronal networks in your brain that will just continually grow. And watch this. Here's the end. Release various hormones and chemicals, neurotransmitters, that create motivation. People don't realize motivation is a neurotransmitter. Dopamine.
Wow.
How do you get dopamine flowing when you're not motivated? Don't worry about it. Do those 4 things and dopamine will start flowing automatically. And then the next thing you'll know, you'll get up off the couch, because cognitive dissonance and homeostasis will come into play, and you will simply not feel comfortable sitting on the couch, not doing what you should do.
Change
yourself at the brain, at the neuron level, and that's what causes motivation.
This is a good point at which to stop. I am so sorry. We are running out of time, but we ended at the right place, motivation. Dr. Clint, I need to invite you back. Could I invite you back to finish this discussion in the future?
Dr. Brown, it would be my pleasure to come back on your show. I love the show. I love what you do.
Thank you.
You know how to reach me. Anytime you want, let's do it.
Okay, so we're ending today's show with the promise that we are going to continue it in the future. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today, and remember to have a happy week.